simply Christmas. It's been our theme this year. We've backed off on a lot of our decorating and just made it simple, and we've been blessed to look at the reason why we have Christmas. And today, before you leave, I hope to make sense of all the songs and all the scriptures that we're using today. But before we do, would you just bow your heads and pray this prayer? I ask everyone to pray this before I speak. It's a simple prayer you just give to God. You don't need to say it out loud, but just say, God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. Just give that prayer to God silently. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. God, our prayer is that you would be glorified, that everyone hearing this would be edified, and that Satan would be horrified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The big idea for this message, and it's a short message, don't worry. Simple provision. We've talked about a simple choice and a simple plan and some simple timing. Today is simple provision, the miracle of the manger. A lot of what you heard today was about a town in Bethlehem, a small town 6 miles outside of Jerusalem, and this little manger and this baby. The Bible says in Luke 2, 6 through 7, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. John 1, 14 declares that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This morning, I want to make sure everyone here knows that the best Christmas gift you ever could get was what God gave us in a small town, in a small manger many, many years ago, when he gave us Jesus. I know today is an exciting day. Some of you will be opening some presents. Who gets to open a present on Christmas Eve? All right, kids, are you excited? Don't be too excited. It's probably just going to be pajamas. But anyway, did I give it away? Sorry, parents. Some people have traditions of giving gifts on Christmas Eve. Some of you will wake up early, way too early tomorrow, and you'll open presents. And I'm all for that. I love that myself, the tradition. But it really is there to remind us that God did something incredible by giving us His Son. I gave my family an incredible gift already this Christmas, one they'll never forget. Yesterday, I got up really early to come, make sure everything was working here, and I left the house in the 6 o'clock hour, and I walked outside and started heading to my truck. Didn't think for a second that my whole driveway was a sheet of ice. The blacktop was all ice. And I took one step, and I went 6 foot high, landed on the ground, and immediately realized I was on camera. I had done it right in front of the Blink camera. So I got in my truck, and once I gathered myself and realized I was still alive, probably have a concussion and my back's broke, but it's okay. I immediately called my wife's phone, and I said, now listen, I just had a bad fall, but you're going to love it. Go watch the Blink camera. According to my daughter, my wife laughed for a half hour nonstop. I got to see it finally. No, we're not showing it, Marie. My wife loved it. She laughed and laughed. She made sure I was okay after she laughed. But gifts. Gifts are incredible. Jesus came as the best Christmas gift of all time. But why a manger? Why in Bethlehem? I got to go there years ago. I was in Jerusalem, and we took a 6-mile drive outside of town to this small town. It's still a small town. Lots of fields. There's still Bedouin shepherds raising sheep in the fields near Bethlehem. It was pretty cool to see. But I heard a speaker, I heard a professor, a Jewish teacher, give more insight on Bethlehem. He told us that Bethlehem, by the way, is where the fields are. They're called to this day the fields of Boaz. In Bethlehem, in the fields, is where Boaz met her kinsman redeemer, pointing to years later that Jesus would be born there. But Bethlehem is also a city of royalty. It's the city of David. It's also called the city of bread. And Jesus was called the bread of life. It's also Bethlehem Ephrathah, to make sure you pinpoint which Bethlehem. There was another Bethlehem. So the Bible says Bethlehem Ephrathah in Judea. Ephrathah actually means fruitful. Fruitful city. All these things point to why God sent Jesus to be born in this small town of Bethlehem. But the thing I love the most is the shepherds in the fields, 6 miles away from Jerusalem. What's the big deal? Shepherds were a low-class people, not even allowed, by the way, to give testimony in court. Their testimony was considered unreliable. Nobody respected shepherds. But there's something different about Bethlehem shepherds. You see, being only outside the city a little ways, they were the ones who raised the sheep for the sacrifices in Jerusalem. It was in the fields of Bethlehem that these shepherds would have to make sure that a sheep was born and it had no imperfections. And so these were actually shepherds who were taught in the law. And they had all the ritual understanding of finding an unblemished lamb, a perfect lamb. And these rabbinical shepherds in Bethlehem would raise these beautiful little sheep, and they would make sure they would have a sign. When they found a sheep that was born, that was perfect, they would do something very interesting, according to this teacher in Jerusalem. These rabbinical shepherds were taught, when they found a perfect sheep, they were to separate it, and they were to wrap that sheep in cloths and lay it aside in a manger to protect that perfect lamb. Isn't it any wonder that God sent Jesus to Bethlehem and to be born in a manger? And the Bible says that when he was born, Mary wrapped him in cloth and placed him in the manger. And God said to the shepherds in Bethlehem, you need to go and see the sign. This will be a sign to you. You will find him wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger. And these rabbinical shepherds would know what that meant. This was a perfect sacrifice for him. So what are you going to do with this Jesus? This morning I have three simple truths. Number one, Jesus' birth came with astonishing claims. The Bible says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. There's three things this first claims. That this baby born in Bethlehem was the Savior. He was the Messiah, and he is the Lord. Those are astonishing claims. The second thing you need to know today, that with these astonishing claims comes some staggering implications. You see, you can't stay neutral today. I'm just going to tell you, you cannot stay neutral about Jesus. You either choose to believe that the Bible says that he is who God says he is, or you choose not to believe. You cannot stay neutral. You must make a choice. So his birth came with astonishing claims, and it comes with some staggering implications. John 1:1-3, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Do you believe this? Philippians 2:9-11, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Do you believe this? Another staggering implication is 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due for the things we've done in the body. And in Romans 10:9, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So you have some astonishing claims about this baby born in Bethlehem. Do you believe this? There's some staggering implications because of that claim. Do you believe this? Because the third point today is simply this. Jesus' birth obligates us a crucial choice. Have you made the choice of who Jesus is? At every funeral I preach, I share the story of Mary and Martha who lost their brother Lazarus, and how Jesus was given a hard time for not showing up on time, but then Jesus makes an incredible claim. He says that Lazarus would rise again. And one of the sisters replies to him, yeah, I know. He's going to rise in the last day. And Jesus says, no, listen. I am the resurrection and the life. Then he looks her right in the eyes and he asks the ultimate question, the ultimate choice. He says to her, do you believe this? In Matthew 16, 13 through 16, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, Jesus asked? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Friends, everything we've sung about and everything we've read has been an astonishing claim with staggering implications. And it obligates you to make a choice. If you've never put your faith in Christ, I would go back to Romans 10 verse 9. And it says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, exactly who Luke 2:11 claimed him to be, Savior, Messiah, the Lord. And if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Listen, you've been given the greatest gift ever. God sent his Son. What will you do with him? Have you made your choice? Who do you say that I am? In conclusion, if you will open your heart to Christ and trust him to be exactly who he claimed to be, you will be saved. Today I pray that you put your trust in him. Let me pray, and then we'll pass out the lights. Father, we thank you for the beautiful truth in Scripture of who you are. We thank you that you made it very clear that at the birth of this baby, history would change. People would build a foundation upon him or stumble over him, but he is the building block. So God, I pray this day, if there's anyone here who has not put their faith in you, God, that they would put their faith in you. They would believe that you are who you say you are. And God, that they would declare with their mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in their hearts and be saved. I pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.